engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
When Jesus returned to the church after some day, it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door. And he preached the word to them. They came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened up the roof above them. After they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves, so he said, "Why are you thinking such things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, pick up your mat and walk?' But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home." He rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astounded and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, brothers and sisters, these passages remind us again of integral salvation. We talk about the salvation of soul, but it's not just of soul. It's of bodies. It's of relationships. It's of entire nations. It's of political communities. It's of the world. It's of the universe. What we await are new heavens and a new earth, St. Peter tells us in the New Testament. We are saved by God in every dimension of our existence and our life. The forgiveness of sin of the paralytic here in this well-known story is accompanied by the restoration of his ability to walk, salvation of the soul and the body. This is why the church has a body of social teachers. We have teachings not only about heaven, we have teachings about the economy. We have teachings not only about the world to come, we have teachings about the world here and now, about buying and selling, and about providing for our families, and about work and employment and unemployment. We have, as a community of faith, concern about all these things, and a duty, of course, to progress in all these areas. And that's why, as we continue in this novena of Masses, to give thanks for President Trump, to give thanks for an absolutely historic presidential administration, the most successful in our nation's history. Today, I want to focus a little bit on those accomplishments in the area of the economy. Let me just read from a very, very long list of accomplishments in these areas. Trade war, one, and better and more fair trade deals accomplished. The president secured $250 billion in new trade and investment deals with China and $12 billion in Vietnam. He's dealing with intellectual property and enforcing copyright agreements. He's been standing up to China. They had their worst year in 67 years when we had our best under President Trump. He replaced NAFTA, disastrous trade agreement, with the USMCA, the United States, Mexico, Canada agreement, to prevent it from losing companies to other countries. This is trade deal with potentially add up to $588,000 and grow the United States gross domestic product by $235 billion. The president got us out of the disastrous Paris Climate Accord, which put America at a very, very big disadvantage economically, and that means your family and mine. He withdrew us from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was killing many jobs in America. Now, the United States produces nearly all the president's policy that has been cured. The Trump administration authorized a total of for farmers who had been subject to unfair trade practices. He has created the strongest economy in our history and in the world. It was also the most inclusive economy in our history, with two-thirds of new jobs going to women, African Americans, and other minorities. Business ownership has grown higher than ever among Blacks, Hispanics, and women. Under President Trump, we had the longest streak ever of positive job growth. Over 7 million jobs were brought about by his administration, including 500,000 manufacturing jobs, which have grown at their fastest rate in 30 years. Some 72% of the new jobs went to those outside the workforce. The Dow Jones all-time high was reached under President Trump earlier this year. And the longest, what's called the longest bull market, a steadily increasing of stock prices in history. Before the virus, we reached a higher number of Americans employed than has ever been recorded in our history, 162 million. Not nearly 160 million, sorry. Unemployment for Americans without a high school diploma reached the lowest rate ever recorded. Female unemployment reached its lowest rate in 65 years. African American unemployment, Hispanic American unemployment, Asian American unemployment reached their all-time low. The unemployment rate among veterans reached a record low of 2.8%. This January of 2020 marked the 23rd consecutive month that the unemployment rate was at or below 4%. The poverty level fell to a 17-year low under the administration of President Trump. Poverty among African Americans and Hispanics reached its lowest point since the United States began collecting this data. The president established the Opportunity Zone, by which $75 million from the private sector poured into disadvantaged areas. And for the first time ever, earnings for the bottom 10% are rising faster than earnings for the top 10%. Since the president's election, the net worth of the bottom half of wage earners increased by 47%, three times faster than the increase to the top 1%. And the rise in median household income reached under President Trump an all-time high. Under President Bush, in 8 years, it rose $450. Under President Obama, for 8 years, $975. The number was almost $10,000. And that was just over the first 2 years of this administration. We look at it on a monthly basis. The monthly rise in income under President Bush was $4. Under Obama, $11. Under President Trump, $161. Jesus did not only forgive the sins of the covenant, he said, get up and walk. Martin Luther King Jr. I was on the night before he was assassinated, gave a sermon in which he said to the clergy, we need a relevant ministry. We can't just preach about the milk, land of milk and honey. We got to talk about people down here having three meals a day. We can't just talk about the heavenly year, the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. We got to talk about the new New York, the new Atlanta, the new Los Angeles, the new Memphis, Tennessee. And so we do today. We preach a relevant gospel. We conduct a relevant ministry. And nothing is more relevant when it comes to our economic life than paying attention to these kinds of accomplishments under this president and giving thanks, studying how he did it, and both defending and protecting the good that he has accomplished for this country economically, and building on it in the years. It is amazing how some people in this country, it is amazing how the radical left and the Democrat Party in this country can absolutely dismiss and ignore all these things I just mentioned and more. It's just like what we heard in the gospel. Instead of marveling that Jesus healed this paralytic, and look at the contrast between those who were just so dismissive of it compared to the faith of those disciples who were so determined to bring this man into the presence of Jesus that they made a hole in the roof. What a beautiful contrast that is. And it's a contrast going on in our country today. We've got those who are convinced of what is good and what is right, doing everything possible to defend and sustain it. And we've got others that are just completely dismissive. That's why we're having this novena at Thanksgiving. We've got to commit ourselves to understanding, defending, promoting, educating others about, and building upon the progress of this great president. We thank the president, we thank his team, we thank them for their commitment to what the church is also committed to, making life as prosperous as possible for people here that they may have not just what they need because they need it, but that they may have the tools necessary to serve the Lord, to work out their salvation, and to advance to the Lord.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.